that you hide. Welcome to Section 31, episode number 125. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week, we've got some Make It So notes to talk about. I'm told we'll have a spoiler, but I haven't seen anything yet, so we'll see if something pops up. And we have multiple tournament results from locally and online to talk about. Where should we begin this week?
Well, we just had that tournament. Why don't we talk about that? That was fun.
Right. So a while back, we had come across a case of OTF. And sorry, I keep doing that. OTSD packs. And we had enough leftover Starter Deck 2s to make an interesting sealed deck event. So I also came across a stack of Blaze of Glory packs that I've been collecting from Jeremy Commander's tournaments. Usually he'll have one in the prize pool, and I always snaked it. So if we had the right number of people, which we did, we had six people. I added those to the pool as well. There was one extra White Border Premier pack just kind of floating around. And then on top of that, we had four pages of virtual cards made up from, let's see, Shades of Grey and Homefront 1 and 2 and Fair Play, is that right?
Yeah, Fair Play.
Yeah. So it was a big stack of cards to make a 1E deck out of.
It was, and it was a fairly solid, for sealed deck. I think it was the Homefront, the virtual pack was a huge bonus. Because for sealed, I mean, I usually feel OTSD is a good format, but you still are sort of on this, okay, well, I've got these five or six good dilemmas, and then what else am I going to do? Having the Shades of Grey events was pretty cool, or all of the shades, it was those events plus the dilemmas that download the pack dilemmas.
Right, which we had.
So you had access to all of those.
Did you play with the doorway?
I did.
Okay, because I'm trying to remember. I think you might have been the only opponent. I mean, I only played three of the six people. I guess I couldn't play myself, so three of the five possible opponents. And I think you're the only one who had the doorway that I saw.
And you know what? I almost didn't. But here's what swayed me in that direction. I took all of those, we were joking as we opened packs back and forth. It was a fun tournament. We weren't, being super competitive. So lots of people, oh, I got this. Oh, I got that. How the hell am I going to do this? And so I laid out my, all of my Shades of Grey stuff that downloaded other things. And then I went through all my dilemmas and I basically made a stack to see how many of any of them I had that would function. And it turned out, after all that excitement that I thought was going to be cool, I did not have more than any one card from any of those. I did have two copies of one card at one point, but I ended up not using them. So I was like, well, that's kind of pointless. There's no point to playing with these if I'm not going to use them. But as I looked at them, a lot of them, like the Shades of Grey, at least do something. The Shades of Grey make them better.
Right.
But the dilemmas at least do something first. A couple of them, like Shore Leave.
Oh, that's a good wall.
You have to have a male and a female, or you have to have a certain amount of integrity. What's the other one? The Loss?
There was one other that I used.
But The Loss, you have to have, is a wall. Unless you have androids or Vulcans or empathy, you have to have a bunch of people. And so they were actually, even though I only had one card to download for each of them, they were still, I felt like they were worth playing.
Yeah, I agree. I think those two are the ones I played with. I also used, I in my packs were at least one more Royal Casino Dilemma. In addition to the one that came in the virtual pack, so I use I use High Rollers, and I got a female or a male love interest, so I used Shore Leave for that. So I actually had a lot of dilemmas in my, I think I had like five cards in my side deck, and that's where I put the Armist Dilemma the planet roulette. I put that in there to download with the all-consuming evil. So I think I put it to good use because I had a good time with it.
It turned out to be a fairly distinct advantage once I realized. First off, we played open.
Right.
And so that kind of opened up a lot of things that we're not used to thinking about. I know you and I both played All Planet, which made we played each other in game one, and that made things fairly interesting since there were a lot of space dilemmas floating around misseeded. I completely forgot that you could not misseed under your own mission and then solve.
Right.
So I was like, geez, that's kind of dumb. Why don't I just put all these space dilemmas under my homeworld that I can attempt and just solve that? And, you know, you picked up on it right away. So at least I didn't do too much work. But, just kind of working around all of the shenanigans, the red shirting and, weird, like, QNET and stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. I think I got enough walls that I didn't have to worry about redshirting the first dilemma. My opponent redshirting the first dilemma a lot.
Nice.
But, my favorite was, you're talking about the Shades of Grey events, I got a Shaco when the walls fell. So that turned into two diplomacy, two exobiology, and lots of integrity to get past. That was pretty good.
Oh, man. That was very good. It was almost too good for you.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have played it on a mission that I was going to attempt.
Yeah. That was one of the downsides is we got all the homeworlds. You know, it's Premier, so there's only three affiliations. And so we got all the homeworlds and the facilities plus the three guys that play for free. So that was really cool. Mm-hmm. I actually got a really good pull for my Blaze of Glory pack was Jadzia, so I had to play Klingon. But I got a decent amount of free plays for Klingons and Romulans. And as I looked at it, I had every treaty. I had all four treaties, so I could have gone any way. In any direction, but going with that treaty with those two homeworlds, they can solve each other's homeworld.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That turned out to be a fairly big advantage. So I didn't have any dead missions. And then I later discovered what I was getting to about the Dyson Sphere was because there were so many duplicate missions. I think there were probably at least three at each game I played. I was able to use those. As soon as I saw that my opponent did not have a Dyson Sphere, I put those dilemmas under the mission that I wanted to do that we both seeded. So I knew that I could breeze past them because they weren't going to download anything.
Right, because they didn't have a side deck to download from, but you could conceivably download things and slow them down.
Exactly.
It's interesting.
I think that landed me a fairly huge advantage as I realized that I had that advantage when I saw they didn't have those. I saw that in my second game against Thomas. He parked a universal mission right next to my homeworld, and I was like, I could solve that. What could I put under there that wouldn't slow him down? Or that would slow him down, but I can remember and won't slow me down, and I realized that. And so then my third game, I got to use that on my home world, and that was an even bigger advantage.
Well, you said, I remember when we were opening packs, you pulled that Jadzia, and you were very excited because I had just opened my Blazer Glory pack, and I had...
Jerk.
I had the guy with the other facing icon,
the albino.
The albino, yeah. So I was just holding it the whole game we played, ready to throw it down. And it turns out that Nate had pulled one of the other Blood Oath guys.
Oh wow!
Yeah, unfortunately he lost him to a dilemma before I could, drop my guy down and cackle evilly. But it was a very interesting. I almost want to say we had more fun opening our packs than we actually did playing.
It was a lot of fun. Speaking of cards that were in there, I mean, the albino's not a Ibound is a great card, actually.
He had
But
the 2X, so I needed to get by
he did. But like as far as having cards that are just there to counter other cards, I know a lot of people were taking thy known selves from AU to red shirt counter and such. I got a Jamaharon, and I was
which
like,
turned out to be useful, huh?
I'm like, hey, you know what? Everybody's opening like four or five premier packs. Somebody's going to get a Horgon. Somebody's going to play it, and it's going to be a huge advantage. I am totally putting this in my deck. And I just sort of loudly, I shouted, hey, I know one of you jerks pulled a Horgon, and my Jamaharon is coming for you. And Nate's like, I got it. I got it. It's like, oh, I didn't expect you to shout it out like that, but now I'm definitely putting it in. Unfortunately, I didn't get to play him, but it was funny just, you know, having
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great. I think everyone pulled something, I would say, interesting. You got an artifact, which I stole from you and
jerk.
Played on your own team.
Yeah.
That Vulcan Stone of Gol was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was
Did you get to use it on anyone else?
I did. It was not as massively destructive as it was when you used it on me, but it was probably about as key. Pretty late in my game against Thomas, he was heading over to solve a mission that was far away from his outposts, or from his facilities, and he had just what he needed, and he was going to get by the last dilemma, but he got stopped, and I was able to play it, and I killed about two or three of his five guys, but I got the last skill, you know, his only copy. It was the Armus mission, so it was transporter skill. And,
right.
You know, most of the decks that day had the potential for maybe three transporter skill because of between Vina and Ezri and the
reflection therapy.
So yeah. at least two of those were, you know, you had to change to get it. So killing Vina was a huge asset and delayed him long enough for me to. I want to say to wrap things up, but like my game against you, I was the next turn from getting 100 points, and then I didn't. So I ended up timing out 95 to whatever for a timed win. Thomas, however, was smart since there was no writ of accountability. He had pulled every point dilemma that there is in first edition premiere and was putting him under all his missions. And, you know, he got a Sarjanka and like he did our, we had a shared homeworld. I think it was Romulus and he had something and then my dilemma and then Sarjanka. And the first one was a point dilemma too. So he hit it, solved it for points, hit my dilemma and like got past it and then hit Sarjanka and stopped. And he's like, okay, I'm not doing that mission anymore. He's like, I was only doing it to get to the points.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And since I was consistently getting to 95, I took a page out of his book and went through and was like, oh, I've got an extra copy of this. I'm going to take one of these out and put that in since you can shift your deck, concealed deck. And, that ended up doing it for me.
I know Matt got a time travel pod, I think.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so, you know, I lost my ship for five turns, which was most of the game.
Oh, I'm...
Nate got the Horgon. Did you play against Johnny?
I did not.
I guess neither of us played against him. I'm sitting, you know, we're all sitting around opening our packs, you know, just kind of trash talking, you know, running commentary. And I hear Matt over in the corner saying, all right, this is going to be Future Enterprise in this pack. This is going to be Future Enterprise in this pack. And I held up what I had just opened. I said, nope, because I just pulled one.
Awesome.
This is the only Future Enterprise I have ever pulled out of a pack in how many years?
15?
A lot.
16?
Yeah.
Well, I guess 14 since AU came out. And see, now and now I can tell that story and you can laugh.
Yeah, shut up.
Because you finally got one.
We'll tell that story another time. But looking at the personnel, everyone is saying, ah, ha, ha, well, you can't staff it. But I got Janeway and Sarek and Naras and the Bellboy and Vina all came in the virtual set. So that was five guys. I pulled a Lakanta, who has an AU icon.
And
and on top of all that, I got a mask of Cardano to add one more. So I had six people. I was flying the Future Enterprise all over the place.
That was pretty
and
awesome.
And you know what it did for me? It led me to an 0-3 day, I think.
Oh, because you were so busy trying to
No, I just had a horrible deck.
Well, I almost dropped an incoming message on you, and I was like, it's not going to do anything. He's going to be here and back. And
yeah. Well, between the Future Enterprise and Lakanta, I was going off one end of the side of the space line and on the other, and a 13 range and flying all over the place. Well, it was awesome.
And our space line was like 8 missions long.
Yeah, exactly.
And you could go in one end and out the other with 13 range. I was like, you could do Cytherians in one turn.
I wish I would have pulled one. I would have put in a space mission just so I could have self-seeded it. That would have been awesome. But overall, it was an entertaining day. Like I said, we had a lot of fun putting our decks together. And, I will say we had fun playing as well. But between Shades of Grey and the nostalgia of opening all the old packs and trying to figure out what was it, we had a good time. We've got enough OTSDs left over to do this again. I think the consensus is we will play under OTF rules instead of open rules.
I think that's a good idea.
See, I had said, let's play under open rules so that we get our open achievement. And then what happened?
Well, it turns out that that does not apply.
Because it was a sealed event?
Because it was a sealed event. I did the same thing. I asked after that. And apparently under the... it's not just a system thing, which is what I thought it was. Like, the system could only handle it being qualified as one type of event. But I guess there is something... I didn't really go into too much detail. I just trusted Chris when he told me that I guess it was an organized play specification that while you do specify the rules for your sealed deck is already a limited format.
Okay.
And so that is the...
All right. Well, you know, that's fine. We'll play an open event at some point. Yeah. But we... got credit for a sealed event, so that was good. And got a bunch more of card backings for promos.
Yeah. That reminds
except
me.
For this one.
Yes, except for that one. I think you should hang on to that.
You know, out of my premiere packs, I pulled Wormhole Negotiations and Pegasus Search.
Should have gone for it, man.
No.
Aww.
Steal, you know, if we had... If I knew everyone was going to be playing with the Triple Treaty, I would have thought about it. But it's just, number one, really hard. And number two, so stealable.
Yeah, it's really stealable.
Yeah. But anyway, we played Tribbles after that. And congratulations on your win in the sealed deck. I didn't mention that. You came in first.
Thank you.
It went to you and then Nate and then TV, Matt, Johnny, and then me, bringing up the rear. But, you know, still, had a good time. And then we played Tribbles, and it was almost the opposite of that, I think.
It was. I went from first to worst, playing with my, I call it my Skittles deck, because it's a rainbow of Tribbles fruit flavors.
Yeah, congrats to TV for coming in first. You know, he got 650,000 by the third round. I think we were all sure that he was going to break a million again, but still, he didn't go out again, but that was enough to carry him, so congrats to TV for that. What's next? We want to talk about the online tournament?
Sure, yeah. I wrapped up the last game of the online tournament I was playing in, my final lesson in the Borg. I played against Com Decker, Matt Zeno, who we were both 3-0. He drew the random affiliation of the Dominion, which was kind of intimidating, just the fact that he was 3-0 with Dominion in 1E.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
And we dropped missions, and that there's a Founder Homeworld in my deck, which is your deck. And and Weyoun is the other counterpart, and I had that split second of I should totally go assimilate his homeworld.
Yeah.
But his missions were like alpha, you know, missions that you would expect from Dominion, and he had one gamma mission, which was the wormhole, the flippy wormhole mission, and one Delta mission, which was the flippy wormhole mission.
Which means he was going to come
and
to
I was like,
you.
He's already spoiling for a fight.
Yeah.
I think by the time I could get my shit together and get to the Founder's homeworld and assimilate his... Even if I did assimilate his homeworld, I think he would have enough out to do enough damage that it wouldn't really matter that he couldn't play guys anymore. It would be pretty rough. Plus the fact that once I put my gateway there, that meant I couldn't get straight to the Alpha Quadrant.
Sure. Yeah, you'd pretty much be stuck.
I mean, I could. He played the wormhole, the Bajoran wormhole, so I could have gone through, I guess, technically to the Alpha Quadrant.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, the deck had been doing so well.
Keep what it's doing, right?
That it was just like, just keep doing what it's doing, and so we got started, and it just, I think we were both so hesitant about each other that it took a really long time to get going.
Well, that's probably good for you, because once you get going, you get just all of your tools out, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, I got a lot of stuff going, and I was doing all the shenanigans back and forth, and I had my multiplexer drone out right away, and was just waiting for him to come over. I started probing. I was so flustered by watching him that I didn't think about stupid things like, you know, making sure I had lack of prep and remembering to... The last dilemma was maglock, and so I was like, okay, I got three red drones, they're all strength of 7, we've all got officer, and I forgot to send down a blue drone so that they would actually all have officer.
All have officer, yeah.
And, you know, just turn, I lost at least two or three turns from bad mistakes, but so did he. He took a ship after ship after ship into the Alpha Quadrant and was pinging away at different missions, just kind of probing to, no pun intended, to kind of see what dilemmas were where and what he could do. And he lost 10 points to lack of prep because, as I found out later, the mission that he needed security and weapons for, he didn't have, because they were all on his ship in the Gamma Quadrant, which looked like a ferry but really wasn't. It was sitting there waiting for me to foolishly decide that he was focusing on mission attempts and that I could go ahead and try to harness particle 010 without repercussions. And as soon as I cleared it out and swapped over, he came over the next turn with his ship full of 8 Jemadar and invasively beamed over. And it turns out, it's funny because I saw him doing this deck and I was like, oh, he's doing what I did kind of with the Romulan deck against him. But he's the one who pointed out that you can't play the second wormhole interrupt with the doorway.
Sure, right.
But he wasn't doing that. He was using wormhole mission to wormhole mission, which turns out, since it's not an interrupt and doesn't use the interrupt text, you're not stopped.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, even if he does, he'll fly through, he'll be stopped.
Right.
I'll get a turn to probe before he does that. I can look at it, make sure it's decent. I have a pretty good shot. I think there's only one bad probe left. But he wasn't stopped, came over, beamed over his 8 guys. Luckily, I had 20. at that point, I was so fed up. I was like, screw it. We all help on the cube. We attempt. I get past the stupid maglock. That meant that there was a lot of people there, and he only killed one that I really cared about, who I then reabsorbed.
Sure.
And I had already been planning, since I knew I had to go to the Alpha Quadrant and Kronos was near his stuff, I'd already been planning to get another ship. So next turn, hopped on my other ship, blew up his invasive transporter ship, so then he couldn't beam off my cube.
So you just moved the cube out of the way? There's nobody on board.
There's nobody on board, so he couldn't attack, he couldn't do anything, so I was able to probe the next turn and get it off. And that was basically the game. I was ready to move all my guys, and as I said in previous games, once I have everybody and you've got Gowron at the Klingon, either at Kronos or the Klingon Icon mission, it's almost always a one-turn attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Since time was running out, he decided he would pile, and he knew he couldn't get any other missions up left, so he had a wormhole interrupt in his hand and a long-range scan, piled everybody on another ship, scanned the wormhole mission to open it up, played the other wormhole interrupt to come straight to me, beamed everybody onto my cube and fought again so that he could play Victory is Life and The Walls Have Ears and get some points before it wrapped up. So that one ended up timing out, but
wow.
Yeah, it was a showdown.
Wow, Borg versus Dominion. That's just kind of awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty hardcore, and I was pretty impressed to see that those were the top two affiliations that came out of the random affiliation draft tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But due to my extreme superior skill at following the instructions that you gave me to play a deck that was so awesome that I did not make, I went undefeated.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
Largely in, like, 90% part to you.
Well, you won up me because you played at the tournament. I didn't even bother, so there you go.
But I did have a really good time. I had a great time learning. I feel like I actually could go and play a Borg deck now or even make a Borg deck now. Every week I learned something new about the deck, and I had another... You can't, all of my opponents will tell me, he's like, wow, that's why that's in here. Man, this is a great deck. He thought of everything. That's so cool.
Wow.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I've got another question for you about online tournaments.
Okay.
Why are you Nutter's Clan's nemesis?
That is.
His name is a picture of you, with a right pointing nemesis icon. What did you do?
I don't know. I mean I thought we were having a good time. Danny is a really good player, and he's a lot of fun to play against. I think he's the most fun I have playing against anyone every time we play. And no, that's not because I beat him every time, and that's why he thinks I'm or that's why he hates me and I'm his nemesis. He's won. To hear him tell it, I think he said I beat him the last three or four times. I went back and looked. I know he's beat me at least once. I think I beat him, and then he beat me, and then I beat him. Like, he beat me in a close game, and then I beat him in a close game, and then I beat him in a less close game, and then most recently I just kind of destroyed him, because that was what the deck does. It destroys, that was the Romulan.
Oh, right. Yes.
The Romulan destroying.
Ambush?
Yeah, actually that was the close game, because he was playing the Motlev Klingon deck, and so we kind of had a mutual assured
right.
destruction game, and then he was in this tournament where I played the Borg against him, and he was the one who was playing Hirogen, and I kind of caught off guard because I assimilated I used a Borg servo to assimilate his random guy on his mission, which stopped him while he was building up his fleet waiting to come attack me, and in the meantime he attempted a mission. He's like, oh well, I don't want this random schmo drone sitting on my ship, I'm gonna kill him. At which point I said, well, I certainly don't want you to wait. I don't want to wait until you are ready to come get me.
Sure.
And I can download my transwarp, double my range interrupt, and
yes.
My multiplexer drone. Perhaps I should do that now. And that's what happened. And he never really
took advantage, huh?
Yeah. I was like, well, I better take this attack of opportunity while it's here. And that kind of... didn't completely destroy him because he had one ship docked, which couldn't fire back, which is why he didn't get to damage me, but it also meant he had a ship left. One ship had its captain on it, so he was only damaged instead of destroyed, but it set him back enough that I was able to kind of run away with, you know, like you said, once the deck gets going and all the tools are out, it's kind of a bam, bam, bam.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, since we played in like four tournaments in a row, and I have done increasingly well. I am now his nemesis.
All right. Well, I expect you to have his icon there with the left facing.
Yeah. If I am at the same location as him, one of us is gonna die. Which I'm not really looking forward to. Either way, because I really enjoy playing against him, so I don't want that to happen.
Very good. Let's move on and talk about Make It So. Now, you've gone through and had a look at these cards a little bit more than I did. What do you think of this week's competition, especially as compared to last week?
Last week was really close. I think both of us kind of agreed that there was some good and some bad on both sides, but it was a fairly tight competition, and it looks like from the judging, both from the voting and from the official judges, they agreed it was all very close. I kind of feel like things are a little more one-sided this week. Delta, I feel like they made things, Team Delta made things a little more difficult than they needed to.
A little too complicated.
Yeah, but the one of the big things that they mentioned on the instructions as advice was that the more complicated you make your cards, the more difficult it's going to be to accurately cost them.
Sure.
And especially when you're trying to cost, just from the counters cost, is rough enough. But when you add other costs into the card, that has to be figured into the counter's cost, losing 5 points for something, or having to have certain people at a certain place. They had this really cool idea with each one of them requires a personnel with two of a certain skill,
mm-hmm.
For something. But I feel like that's a whole nother cost. It's not like where you have to have three TNG people to play this. That's kind of an affiliation restriction more than a cost. But having a specific something that specific is really
hard to come by sometimes.
It is hard to come by, and it's kind of a limiting factor. And I think that that's an additional. I think that would have been a cool theme to add in a different challenge, but that's like a whole additional cost. On top of which, I feel like at least half of these cards are. One nudge away from being a card that already exists. I didn't really like that they're kind of not ripoffs, but they're just really derivative. A piece of the action is basically Smuggling Run. Blood Oath is basically Jemadar Attack. Legally Arrested is basically a combination of Apprehended and Arrest Order. They're all cards that do something that other cards already do. They're available to more people, or more affiliations, but they basically all already do something. Plus, a commandeer ship just makes me want to rip my hair out. We don't need we need more ship deprivation in the game.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't want to. Man, just can you imagine adding up and, I mean, it costs six, but. And lose 5 points, but
yeah,
taking away some of the ship, that's usually worth it. Losing a turn, which is seven counters, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't really tell you what you do with the people that, because it says unstaffed, not empty ship. So, like Krug says, if there's people left on it, you capture them. What happens to the people left over on this ship? It doesn't really specify.
Yeah,
so
that sounds like a problem.
Are they just hanging out there? Can I go and beam them off? So, I don't know. I felt like that, with the exception of A Question of Faith, which I think is a fantastic card. I think that one is, because two honor is really easy to come by. Not easy to come by, but it's probably the most common two-level skill.
Mm-hmm.
And it counters Greasy Ducat, which I'm in favor of anything that does that.
Sure, yeah. Did you have a chance to look at the Team Omega cards?
I did. There were some interesting things. I'm sorry. While I'm thinking about it,
mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's okay. We'll do Omega, and then I can we can take a look at back at Gamma. I liked a couple of things, and some of them it looked like they were some of them were just fun, and then some of them were like, whoa.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting looking at the other two teams. They're sorted by alphabetically, which is what you'd expect. But there's something about having them in numerical order, like low power to high power, that makes it interesting. I don't know what that is.
I agree, and that's what kind of what I was hoping for, and I think I read them in that order
Ah, okay.
when I did that, because I liked having that, yeah, the increasing power just to see.
Completely an aside as to what was actually the cards created, but I thought it might have been a better presentation.
Yeah, I agree. I understand that what the way I don't even know if that like they have a say in that. Like if that's just they submit
Sure.
their answers and they put them in the generator and this is how it comes out because you know it puts it on the sheet and the sheet generates an alphabetical order by card type.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
they may not have a really say in that, but I liked the progression, like you say. The seven cost thing is just ridiculous.
What, you don't want to you want to completely lock somebody out and wreck the game?
That's so obnoxious. Well, on the one hand, I'm like, I read it and I was like, that's so obnoxious. No, just no. And then I read it and I was like, except that it's their turn and your turn. Plus this turn. So you're basically spending 14 counters to deny them 7. Because you have to spend 7 now on the event, and it's not modified. You can't modify the event cost.
Right.
And it's your, you know, each of the co oh, each opponent, not each
Yeah.
player. Oh, okay. So it is just their turn.
So
Ugh.
I'm going to spend all my counters to deprive you of spending any counters in the next turn.
Oh man, this just messed up.
I will at least it removes from the game.
Yeah.
I also liked that I thought it was interesting that all of these are unique.
Yeah.
If you want to, potentially make a card that could be considered too powerful, if you make it unique and remove it from the game when you're done, I guess that's one step of toward controlling it a little bit more. All
Yeah.
right.
I found it interesting that most of them were citing headquarters instead of, you know, you must command three, whatever. I liked the Founder Homeworld and the Bajor and then the Bajoran like non-aggression pact. That was
That
a
is
really neat
interesting. I think
idea.
that's one of the few, only maybe, cards that actually promotes a dual headquarters.
And it, you know, it's thematically correct and. I like a lot of things about that card. I also liked Borg Space, the kind of promoting the Delta Borg, which is
Yeah.
not really done anymore.
Yeah, and just, solving missions and making it harder for the opponent.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing. As the game goes on, the better I'm getting. The more I can slow you down.
Yeah.
Without directly interacting, I get to interact by doing what I'm supposed to be doing, solving missions.
Yeah. So that was
Well,
cool.
let's go back to Gamma then. You had some comments on them?
You know, I think I just wanted to comment on Gamma because I think this was a really good set of cards. I liked there was not any of them that made me balk at their power. And there was even one that I think like the first card in Make It So 2011 that I've looked at and said that card is ready to go on a sheet and be printed and be put out in a set right now.
Really, which one?
Worst case scenario, I think that's it works really well. It's a little bit like I was chastising Delta for being kind of derivative, but this one is a little bit derivative, but it's a cycle that already exists. You know, there is already a cycle of events that are, you know. Under these specific circumstances, draw three and spend three.
Sure, yeah.
And you know, like the if you have an AU personnel, you can do that with predicament. If you have if your opponent's attempting missions that are 35 points or less, you can do that with Delirium. And, you know, this is another, it's like, it's the same cost, it's the same text, and it's a specific set of circumstances that I think is a really good case to be able to use something like this, which is you're losing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably, I think that's a really good card, just straight up as is.
All right. Well, since the theme of the challenge was make a bunch of events that all have different costs, I'm guessing that this is really a challenge to see if you can cost things correctly. And, you know, cards, game text, you know, if it does something interesting, less so. But the actual costing based on what it does would be the most important. Would you agree?
I agree.
All right. Well, based on that, which of the two, Gamma or Delta, do you think did a better job?
I would definitely say Gamma. I think they... Delta just did so many things to make it more difficult to really judge the cost of their events. And that's not to say that they aren't accurate or inaccurate, but it just makes it more difficult. And that... The levels associated with the game text in their cards, I can look at these. I guess you could argue that, you know, they were trying to make things interesting and fancy, and that Gamma made some cards that were fairly, you know, reliable and straightforward. And I definitely read these Gamma cards and go, yep. It does that, and you get a little bit extra from that, and I could totally see that costing. Like the maneuver event, it costs 4. You know, some of the cheaper ones cost 2, but it's specifically Deep Space Nine. It kills somebody, but you also get an event back. That's Deep Space. That's themed with Deep Space Nine. It does something. You know, it kills a random person, which is what all the 2-cost events, maneuver events do, and it gets something back. So that's another 2. So. Yeah, it's not getting points and killing somebody, which right. are usually 5 cost. I could see that being knocked down from 5 to 4 for the benefits that you're getting out of it. I can look at and fairly straightforwardly see right. why it's costed the way it's costed.
So you'd say most of the Gamma cards are pretty straightforward costing, whereas the Delta cards, it takes some testing, either personally in decks or, you know, playtesting, to figure out if that cost is really right.
Yes. Yeah. I cannot imagine how you could, in a week, come up with the cards that they came up with, unless they just don't have jobs and spent the whole time playtesting the cards to find out, you know, what a good level of costing was.
Sure.
for how complex those cards were. As
All right. Well, you have until Sunday, I believe, to vote. And the teams have until Sunday to work on the next challenge. So make your votes count. And I believe I've already sent off, or I will be sending off shortly, the first prize randomly given out to someone who just all they had to do was vote. So you get a promo. Congratulations.
That's right. Go and place your vote and earn your chance. And more importantly, you know, make your voice be heard.
I see we have one order of business. Is there anything else to do before we get to that?
No, I think we have our incoming transmission left to deal with, which has come in quite faithfully since we began the program.
Yes. So caveats apply. We have no expansion name yet, no release date, still in testing. Our track record is poor. this card is subject to change, and I will highlight the word removal. But this card is from the next 2E expansion so far.
Nevertheless, we're here to bring you what information we have, and so here it is.
Well, you know, in all that, it looks like it's pretty far along. It seems to have a story.
Yeah.
It even has
it's
a card
got lore,
number. So,
and it's,
you know.
Yeah, it's got lore and collector info, so...
That lends some credence to it.
It's and it's number one.
Number one. This is a dilemma. It's dual. It costs 2, and it's called Infatuation.
The game text reads, randomly select a security personnel to be stopped. Bold security. If you still have 9 personnel remaining, randomly select a medical, bold, personnel to be stopped. If you still have 10 personnel remaining, randomly select an officer, personnel, bold, to be stopped.
Yeah, and there's a quote. It says, "A most curious creature, Captain. Its trilling seems to have a tranquilizing effect on the human nervous system." Which I believe is Spock, right?
Yes. Yes. Playing with the tribble.
While he's petting the tribble.
Yes.
Being tranquilized by the the effect.
Oh, well, that's funny. I mean, this is obviously a patterned off of the anti-big team dilemmas, pin down and expose relay, et cetera, but with skills.
With skills, so you can't sneak past it with Archer. You could throw it in a legacy dilemma pile.
Yeah, you can't Rega it.
Right.
And anything that is anti non-skill dilemma, so that I think this could be a very popular addition.
Yeah, and in fact, I mean, security, medical, and officer in that order. So I suppose if you attempted with 9, and I was fairly confident you didn't have any security, I could still throw this because I'm still going to stop a medical, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You still have 9 left.
You don't necessarily have to worry about it being, having a lot of people. You can throw it and, like the pin down is a random stop no matter what. If you don't have security, well, then I get to try for medical, and if you don't have medical, then I get to try for officer, and hopefully you're going to have one of those three.
Well, not quite, because once you get to the last one, you have to have 10 people.
Oh, that's true.
But still, you get a shot at a security. If they don't have security, you get a medical. For 2 costs, 1 stop at the very least. Well, granted, that's...
And it's dual.
Yeah, it's dual, but stopping 1 out of 9 is probably not going to help you too much, but... You could use this as a focus, get rid of some security people before, some kind of security-related dilemma who's escaping me, like that one with Quark on it.
Yes.
But anyway, I like the fact that this kind of fits in with, what is it, Coolant Leak?
Yes.
Coolant Leak was a low-cost personnel stopper. That's snuck in a skill. This kind of does the same thing. Yeah. And really, if you have 9 people, it's if you have 12 people, I'm probably going to get security. Then I'm probably going to get a medical, and then I'm probably going to get an officer.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
12, 10, 9, maybe, but it's pretty good. I mean, I know there are people who still stock pinned down in every pile just because they know it's a 2 cost, it'll stop 1. I think this is pretty reasonable. 2 cost, it'll stop 1. I suppose if you had enough bonked on the head, what is that? Sisko sitting at his desk, stricken dumb.
Bonked on the head.
They forget their skills, but that would take a lot of effort.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's it seems like certainly from the higher level players that I've seen in our area that with after Transport Crash Survivor that things have really shifted from lots of multi teams to just freaking ginormous team. Attempts instead of instead of trying to attempt with 2 sets of 5 or 2 sets of 6, I'm just going to send 12 and stop me if you can. And so we've tried. I've definitely. I know several people in our area have started. Stalking those again. I know Thomas is a big fan of the bounce back to hand one with
the Gideon Mark of Gideon.
Yeah, Mark of Gideon.
Yeah.
Restricted area, exposed power relay, but those
I've been known to run a fracture time.
Fracture time, and those are all susceptible to, like you said, the Archer, the Rega, the any of the anti no skill, Denatra. and I think this will be a pretty solid replacement.
If nothing else, I've been known to play Legacy Pile on occasion, and this will go right in there.
Absolutely.
Because that was a big hole. Legacy really doesn't have much to do against a mega team, so that works well. Other than you get to draw a bunch of dilemmas and hope Legacy's in there somewhere. But this works well.
And I like that it targets officer and medical and security with the tribbles, distracting them, and the scientists are the ones who rise above.
You know, they can, and engineers. What does that mean?
Analyzing, you know, they're logical and they're immune to its docile.
Well, if that would have been science to start off, that would have been an awesome picture of Spock, McCoy, and Kirk.
Yeah.
I wonder if they got some like a Sulu, Sulu McCoy, and Kirk sitting there or something. Well, we don't have the picture, so we'll have to guess on that. But that is our first spoiler in quite a while, and it's for 2E.
We had our last set. 2E set came out at Worlds, or just around Worlds, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
at Worlds, yeah, released at Worlds.
You know, who knows? We could project holiday time. That was the we have a set at the holidays last year, or was that 2 years ago? That was 2 years ago. We had Allegiance at the holidays, I'm thinking of.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good. I'm looking forward to it. And rumor has it that the 1E set should be out. November should be a fun month for 1E, so.
Excellent.
Yeah. And, yeah, good stuff. But I think we're done.
Yeah, I think that was a wealth of intelligence for us. This evening, so we'll go ahead and wrap things up. We'll give a shout out to Warp 11 because they're awesome. Everybody, go check out their new album and play some Borg.
I have listened to the new album and it is most entertaining.
Fantastic, man! I downloaded it, haven't had a chance to listen to it. I'm gonna have to do that.
It's one of those you got to listen to it front to back. I saw someone post a review. There's no really catchy, get stuck in your head songs, but it's like you said, man. It's a story from start to finish. There's a couple of major players, and there's plot twists, and just funny, and lots of things that rhyme with Borg and probe. It's hilarious. So little bits in between of them, you know, Captain Log, blah, 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 you know, and it was entertaining to me. However, it does most definitely deserve the explicit tag that it has.
Excellent. All right. Well, everybody should go out and check that out. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will listen to Warp 11 125 times 10.
Section 31.